This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! Guess what day it is? Go ahead, Brent. Go ahead.
Hump day?
Yes! We're on the down.
Pretty excited
I
about
am.
That.
We're on the downslide of the weekend. I love it.
Well, welcome everybody to Hump Day. Yeah, and welcome to Newsmakers, this fabulous Willamette Valley day.
It is gorgeous.
They're
out
all
there.
They're all fabulous. Even though it was, you know, there's ice in your car and things like that.
Oh, we can deal with that.
At least it's not negative 60 like it is in
Chicago. Yeah, with the wind chill.
Like,
oh, my goodness.
Anyway, this is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers. We're with you every weekday, Monday through Friday at the noon hour, to talk about local initiatives and ideas, institutions, people that are of note in making things happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we like to talk about the Mid-Valley, a lot of Salem news, a lot of Salem. We had the Salem mayor on yesterday. We're going to have the CEO of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce on tomorrow.
Nice.
Which is an odd coincidence, because today we're talking broader valley, and we have the CEO of the Dallas Chamber of Commerce in studio with us today, J.D. Shin. And I've known J.D. for a little while, because he
10 minutes.
Has a little bit of, he has a little bit of history with the Salem Chamber. Yeah. And we've talked a little bit about chambers in the past and how they are all just a little bit different. And some of them are full-fledged advocates and do a lot in terms of workforce, a lot in terms of visitors, a lot in terms of just advocacy for small business. And others simply serve as a visitors bureau.
Right.
And there's every permutation in between. So with no further ado, welcome to the studio, J.D.
Thanks, Brent.
It's nice to have you. It's great to see you. Yeah. Well, I don't think we've even talked since you took the job. So how long have you been in the job? You are the CEO, correct?
Correct.
Got your title right. Of the Dallas Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
Dallas, Oregon.
Dallas, Oregon.
Okay.
We get that a lot. We've actually had people accidentally join our chamber here in Dallas, Oregon, from Dallas, Texas, fully meaning to join the Dallas, Texas Chamber of Commerce.
Do you cash the check?
Well, we had to reimburse it.
Oh,
it was done online. We have that capability.
Oh, that's awesome. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about you before we dive in, because we're going to learn a little bit about the Dallas economy. You know, that West Valley is getting more and more critical to the overall picture for the Willamette Valley. I mean, you got Dallas and its growth. You got Monmouth and the university. Independence is becoming an incredibly quaint town. We're just within arm's reach. And of course, our listeners are stretched into Polk County and have an interest. So, and then there's the issue of traffic and housing, all sorts of things. So we're going to talk about that. But let's talk about J.D. Shin. So where the heck did you come from?
I actually grew up in Dallas, Oregon.
No
graduated
way.
From Dallas High School.
Nice.
So I'm a local boy. I really haven't ventured far except after I dropped out of college initially there after my freshman year. I took an opportunity to move to North Carolina and spent some time back there growing up a little bit. Not a whole lot.
Okay.
And then came back and got married and started having kids and doing the family thing. And
And you're relatively successful at that part.
Yes.
Dave, he's got four kids.
Nice
four
job.
Four kids. Nice. Yeah. And a teenager almost. My oldest will be 13 on Saturday.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surviving.
That is good.
Yeah,
is
we're thriving even. No, she's, this is Stella. She's the famous artist. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see a lot of her artwork that... we're pretty proud. I'm kind of pulling the proud dad moment here, but
nice.
She's pretty cool.
Well, shout out to Stella the artist Shin out in Dallas, and she's going to Dallas High School.
She's at Dallas Community School,
okay,
which is a charter school in Dallas. So we've kind of partnered with them for home education as well as doing some of her coursework there.
When you were at Dallas High School, did you play any sports?
I did.
Yeah. Just trying to find out if there's enemies or friends out there.
Well, if anybody from Silverton is listening, there's probably some people that laid me out in football and then others that maybe I got penalized for holding a little bit. So played on the line back in the 90s and
All right.
Good times.
All right. So you go to North Carolina. You learn a little bit about the East Coast. You decide, well, that's not for me. I got to head home. Let's go back to the West Coast.
Was the weather and everything similar?
There were some similarities. Yeah, I was up in the mountains.
Yeah.
So there was some difference there just in the actually I lived at the base of the mountain and I could go 15 minutes up that mountain and it would be a completely different climate and everything. I made the mistake of going a back road to church one Sunday.
Whoops.
Yeah. I was told that it was well kept during the winter. Well, that was after I broke up with her that she told me that. I think she was trying to push me off the cliff. Yeah, I was. But I survived. I made it up, and I was late for church.
Yeah, you could be part of those
another day
shows that say, I should not have survived.
Yeah,
you
know, right?
Yeah, there you go.
It's like, trapped 3 days in the snow and ice.
So and how, no late, hills of Highlands, how late were you for church? Days?
A week.
No, 20 minutes.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, it was an S10. It can do anything.
Okay.
All right, so let you come back. And for a while there, so how did you land in the Chamber of Commerce business?
Yeah, good question. I was running my two businesses at the time. This is 2009, I believe, 2008. And I was contacted by the Salem Chamber to see if I was interested in volunteering with the Ready to Learn, Ready to Work program. And so I took a year and did classroom mentoring and loved it. Youth has always been a passion of mine. When I have the opportunity to invest in young minds and find new ways for them to flourish, I'm happy. And so, yeah, there's an intern in here, so maybe I can double up. But that was fun. And then Kathy contacted me, Kathy Moore, from the Salem Chamber staff about a position that they had that was grant funded. And I believe, Brent, you were the incoming president. You were something like that. You were president during a year that I was there anyway of the board. So I came in and worked with a program through the, what's their name now? They seem to change their name all the time. It's now Willamette Valley Workforce Partners. It was Insight at the time.
But the role is the same.
Role was the same.
Develop workforce. Okay.
Yeah. So my role was to connect young adults who were kind of dislocated in the workforce into some sort of a work program where they could learn the soft skills that they needed as well as get something on their resume. So we placed 155 youth in work experiences
in a year.
We ended up getting it extended. The original grant was for 18 months, so that was all I was guaranteed, but they extended it another 6 months. So
one thing that we like doing here at Newsmakers is illuminating things and roles and initiatives that most of the public doesn't know it exists. And that program in particular, because it was a niche, you're talking about people who are not 16 years old, right? Legally adults, but really have not found their way into a productive method of supporting themselves and into the economy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the program, the Career Achievement Network is what it was called, was geared for those 16 to 26 in general. But we found more of a niche of 18 to 24 is where we really had the client base or the service base to serve that population really well. So it was a neat time to find them opportunities so that they could kind of discover who they were.
Well, what a great mission and a great job experience. And then obviously it led to jumping off and bigger and better things and moving to the Dallas Chamber. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We're going to talk about Dallas, the chamber, the jobs, the housing, the population, and the future of Dallas, Oregon. We're talking to J.D. Shin here, the CEO of the Dallas Chamber of Commerce. Stay with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hey, Brent, this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Proud sponsors of Newsmakers.
Thank you, Sylvan. They do good work down there. Hey, welcome to Back to Newsmakers. Brent DeHart here. We're talking to J.D. Shin, the CEO of the Dallas Chamber. We're going to talk about Dallas in general and also the Chamber itself and its role in the community. Let's start with the Chamber a little bit. So first of all, from last time, I want to shout out to Kathy Moore.
Oh,
who
Kathy
hired
Moore.
Hired you to begin with at the Salem Chamber and the Inspire Foundation. She's been there a long time. And that kind of anchor and that kind of historical knowledge, that kind of dedication has really paid off. And she handles a lot of what you're talking about, workforce, youth, training to be ready for the workforce, ready to learn, ready to work, and all sorts of interactions with the school district and helping that educational component. Mission of the Salem Area Chamber. All right, so thank you, Kathy, for bringing J.D. Shin in the house.
In the house.
And then you got hired away, Dallas. Is that something you sought out?
Well, actually, I was sought out for it, which I never put myself on a headhunter or anything like that, but I had the contract there with the grant had ended there with Salem Chamber, and Dan, who was the CEO at the time, had offered me a part-time position. That's all they really had, and so I politely declined and kind of took some time to rest. While I worked there, I finished my bachelor's degree.
Awesome.
So I was doing a good 50-hour week job and then going home and studying. And so it was a challenging year and a really good, 2 years, time to be there. But I took that time off and just went back to work in my businesses and so forth. But
all right, give us a little brief on your businesses.
Yeah, one of them just consulting for kind of life coaching, and then the other was I still actually own it, shear sharpening. The scissors that your hairstylist uses.
Yes,
somebody's got to sharpen those, and so. Edgehog to the rescue.
Edgehog. All right.
Nice. That's
ongoing enterprise.
Well, J.D. Hogg, Dukes of Hazzard.
Right. I got it. Yeah.
You know.
Good play.
I try.
All right. Well, we have to know more about this. So what kind of implements do you sharpen?
I only do hairstylist shears.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Specialized.
That is a niche business, isn't it?
It really is.
Is it a member of the chamber?
As they both cough.
Yeah, busting him up.
My kids gave me this lovely little bug scratching my throat. So
it's great. Thanks for sharing it.
I know. It's Malachi's fault.
As someone who's married to a teacher,
I
know.
Yeah.
You know, every September there's just this bag of germs that run around my wife and she gets to bring them home. So anyway, let's move on. So you got it. CEO of the Chamber at Dallas. So tell us a little about the Chamber. How many members is it? What kind of work? It's obviously a nonprofit.
Yep. It's the Chamber itself. We do have both types of nonprofits that chambers typically are. Our Chamber is a 501c6 nonprofit, which is membership based and has the ability to do political advocacy. So that's kind of the main difference between a 501c3 and a 501c6. Our visitor center, which I'm also CEO for, is 501c3, and it focuses on tourism marketing. So we have both of those arms. The visitor center really functions as the marketing arm for Dallas. So we're trying to get the word out to other communities. We're strengthening our web presence. And so when I was brought in, they asked me, they didn't ask me. They said, what we need from you is to kind of re-envision what the organization is. Mm-hmm. They had gone from a little over 300 members down to 121. And so they were really, really struggling. And so they needed, obviously, that decreases revenue. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
Major problem. But so increasing revenue is only done, though, by finding some way to intrinsically motivate people to join. And you do that by finding what they actually need. So my first 3 months, I did what I called 90 in 90. My first 90 days, I had 90 conversations. And I continue to make that an effort to go out and listen and ask the members the questions. What are you dealing with? Where are we doing well? Where do we need some real improvement?
Did you also have an opportunity to have discussions with people who are no longer members?
Absolutely. Yeah. During that first 90 and 90, I'd say, I actually ran some stats on it. I think it was 65% of them were non-members or past members because I wanted to find out why they left. Mm-hmm. So
All right. How many membership? What's the membership level today?
We are at 146, okay. So we're up a little over 20%.
Good.
So.
And you've been on a job a couple of years now?
Yep. Yep. Took over October of 2016.
All right. So you answered one of my questions in that you do serve as the Visitors Bureau. And I think of Dallas, I think of maybe two things. I don't know what Dave thinks about. I think in terms of what would attract me to Dallas. One is the environment in which to live, you know, the quality of life. But I think in terms of visit, history, and you're surrounded by wine opportunities,
sure,
for that kind of tourism.
Right. Yeah, wine tourism.
What am I missing?
The livability is drawing a lot of people into town. We get relocation packet requests all the time from California, Idaho. We had some from Michigan. So we're getting people that are hearing about Dallas as a low-cost place to live and that has a high quality of living, that has resources all around it for, you know, what they need to buy and so forth. So whatever Dallas may not have in terms of retail and so forth, it's real close by. I mean, midday, it took me 30 minutes to get over here. So not a huge commute for anything. But then that wine tourism, that's a huge draw. There's also, we're in discovery right now for what are the assets there in Dallas, mm-hmm, as far as visitor type things. One of the big ones, it's just outside of Dallas that a lot of people like to stay at our Best Western Hotel and then go out to Black Rock and do the mountain biking.
Mm.
That place is way too intense for my style of mountain biking, but there's some avid mountain bikers that love that place. It's a top rated place, beautiful facility, and out there in the country, it's just gorgeous out there, a little bit past Falls City.
I guess we're going to have to outdoorsman and outdoorsman activities to that list I had. So absolutely, you have the history, you have the logging history, mm-hmm, actually the history of the settlement and all this in the West Valley, and wine tourism, and we're going to add outdoorsing because you're surrounded by, you got mountains on one side, valley on the other, right? Mm-hmm.
Reservoir for fishing. All right. And
so how big is your organization, Dallas Chamber?
As far as which piece of the organization are you looking for there, Brent?
Let's look at the totality, how many employees and...
Oh, yeah, okay. So it's me and two others. We have an administrative assistant, Sarah, and then a marketing coordinator, Shelley.
And so how do you man the Visitors Bureau? Do you get a lot of volunteerism or?
We pretty much handle it, you know, on our own for the week as far as people coming in and so forth. I lean really heavily on Sarah, especially. She's kind of the face of the welcome center, as it were, and gets people the resources they need when they're coming in for that information. And then Shelley handles getting all that word out about those assets that Dallas has. She's actually taken that role just as of January. She stepped in to fill in for an event coordinator vacancy. So.
Well, that was my next question. And are there events that you promote to either promote the organization or the area?
That's been a big change that really took place as of January 1. You've heard the term, and Brent, I know you being on the board, you've heard the difference of a modern chamber is that it's stopping the being a chamber of parties, pageants, and parades and shifting gears to be a chamber to that is a catalyst, a convener, and a champion for their community and their business, mm-hmm, community within that area. So we've really shifted gears away from being that parties, pageants, and parades group that takes care of all of those types of things. Historically, we have done the planning for Summerfest, and we have a lot of fests right now in Dallas. There's Winterfest, yeah, there's Summerfest, Freedom Fest, and then we also handled the Bounty Market, which is our farmer's market. That's a midweek one. And we also were doing the Sounds of Summer events, so the series of concerts that go throughout the summer.
Yeah. I'll have to stop by.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of chambers, I think one of the benefits that you're promoting to the businesses out there and your members is that they do hopefully get an opportunity to not just further the mission, you know, rising tides, float all boats, but also exposure and networking and connection with other Dallas businesses.
Right.
I know for me in business, when I was in any business group, be it networking or trade association, knowing where to turn to and who you can trust,
right,
was more of a benefit than it was just resulting in excess sales, additional sales, or things like that. Mm-hmm. Just having all of those interconnections and making your community stronger.
Yeah, absolutely.
So fair enough to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I hired?
I've already got one.
Oh, okay.
I've got a great marketing coordinator, so I'm sorry, Brent.
He's already had too many jobs.
I've got enough jobs.
Yeah, you do.
All right. So what's the next step for Dallas? You said you're looking at compiling a good handle on the assets that are out there and directing a brand new mission to move forward and get back up to 300?
Yeah. Yeah, we'd love to get up to that 300 level. It's a matter of finding that value. As our chamber changes gears from being what it was, we've let go of those events, and actually the city is taking over the planning of those events so that we can focus in on, if we do events, it's going to be things that are essential to what the business community has said that they want from us.
So what is that? And does that involve advocacy? And is there political advocacy out there?
Yes.
I mean, you've got the county government and, of course, the city government.
City government, county government, and we're involved with legislature. So we lean in pretty heavily with Oregon State Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And so we're involved in all of their calls and so forth. But, yeah, we are doing some advocacy. And what was the other thing you said there? It slipped my mind.
I don't know.
On the cold.
Yeah. I just let it out of my mouth. I don't know if I retain it or anything.
No, he doesn't.
So, but yeah, the advocacy in terms of the county and the city government. And a lot of times, you know, a business group, be it a trade association, which we've had on, and chambers, anybody who is a special interest, sometimes their job is to educate the elected leaders who may not be an expert in commerce, right? And stop any bad ideas that are coming down the road.
Yep.
Right? Oh, that's not a good idea, and this is why.
Right.
And try to play that diplomacy.
Yep.
All right, we're talking to J.D. Shen, CEO of the Dallas Chamber. We're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit about the community, see if you guys want to move there. Talk about quality of life, housing, employment base, and all that great stuff. So thanks for being with us. You're listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart on this fabulous Mid-Valley day here with Dave Bourne.
That's a good radio voice there, yeah. Brent.
I think you gave me your cold already. Well, thank
you.
Wow. Yeah.
It's spreading.
And outbreak. In studio with us is J.D. Shen, CEO of the Dallas Chamber. So we're going to talk about Dallas a little bit. Salemites, you're going to learn something about one of the communities right outside our reach. Really, it's a short drive. So if you're going to narrow down, what's the best thing about living out in Dallas? Now, you're homegrown.
Right? I'm homegrown, yeah.
And you left, and you moved across the country, and you came back, and you still went back to Dallas. You didn't move to Portland. You didn't move to Salem.
I did move to Salem when I came back. Uh-huh. Raylan and I moved into Salem when we got married, and we stayed there. But when I took this job, we did move back to Dallas.
Oh, good for you. All right. So what's the personality of Dallas like, and how big is Dallas?
Dallas is just about 16,000 proper. And then it serves, you know, good peripheral outside of it as well.
Lots of land and ranches.
Yep.
And agriculture.
A lot of ag. Yeah.
And it's the county seat. So we were talking about advocacy earlier, and there is this, you know, city government and the county government and a new county commissioner. Mm-hmm. And so it's your job to get to know who they are and anything that they might be doing that affects business.
Yeah.
The small business climate, good business recruitment.
Yeah. City manager that's in there now is a really great guy to work with, Greg Ellis. So we actually, a lot of what we do lately has been more conversational rather than, you know, pitchforks and all of that sort of thing that I think sometimes chambers get that notoriety of you're just going to oppose everything we do. Like, one thing we're doing right now is the city planner is working on updating the sign code. And so we're just in conversation with him and I'm listening to the business voices and our board and our political advocacy committee is listening to what the business community is saying so that we can just convey that back to the city and see how that can play into those updates.
Who are some of the major employers out there that really putting people to work out?
Well, obviously, like you said, the city being the county seat, the county is there. So that's a major employer. The school district is a pretty big employer. But Dallas Retirement Village is probably one of the larger ones that is a private entity. They have, I don't know how many beds they have in there, but it's grown from just a what do you call it? Or
small mom and pop.
Yeah, but it was there for memory care long mm-hmm. ago. And my great grandmother was there when she had Alzheimer's, and it was just your care facility for memory. And okay. But now it's moved into just that basic assisted living, where maybe they get somebody to come in and clean the house once a week, and they don't have to take care of the lawn. That type of folks are living there. It's a beautiful facility. I just love it to death.
Any semblance left of wood products industry?
There's some, not nearly what it used to be. The mill is closed down, but there's some great opportunity there as well. That property is for sale. I know that there's been some interest. I'm not the economic development director. That it would be AJ Foscoli. Mm-hmm. But he knows some stuff that's pretty exciting that he's given enough information that I've tried to do a backflip, but it hurt, so I stopped. it's really exciting stuff for us to have in Dallas coming in that way. But as far as going back to your question, I think the next biggest employer is Forest River, and they build trailers. So they do the RV type in Dallas, yeah. And then they do the storage trailer as well.
Storage trails. Yeah, you see Forest River, and there are a lot of different brands, mm-hmm. and they make, and so that's inside the city limits. Right?
Yep.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's great. So we did, by the way, Dave, we booked Eric Anderson, who is now the CEO of SEDCOR, the Economic Development Corporation. So we'll see him in a couple of weeks.
Oh, good.
And hopefully he'll have good news for us and maybe a big news about Dallas or something in the works. You know, they can't tell us anything till it's done.
Right.
But I know that they're... SEDCOR works very hard, and there's always something exciting on the horizon in terms of broadening the employment base. And when you do that, you make us more recession-proof. I mean, you take an economy and you have not just a high-tech sector. You're not just an ag sector. You're not just fill in the blank. The more variety you have in industries in your region, the more recession-proof you are.
Right.
So anyway, so we're going to have him on. So we'll have SEDCOR on. Things that JD has hinted about, heard about, but doesn't know enough about. And if he did, he couldn't tell us.
Right.
And if he did,
may or may not be true.
If he did, he'd take you out back.
Okay. So let's talk about housing. Housing is a big issue in Salem. You know, the urban growth boundary we've talked about, what the costs of a lot are in Salem and Kaiser. Anything that's inside the urban growth boundary in West Salem, South Salem, Kaiser. What's the market like out in Dallas?
Solid.
Yep. Solid.
Good to know.
Solid.
What does that mean?
It means that there's a ton of houses going up. There's several builders that are taking advantage of the low cost out there. So there's a lot of houses going up, and they're getting snatched up as soon as they're near ready. We made an offer on ours before it was done.
So do you have an idea of what the median house cost is? What new construction is going for out there? I know, you know, the cost of a lot... There's two huge things that drive things. You have the cost of the lot, which we've talked about, the scarcity in Salem. And now, you know, a nice buildable lot, it's not unthinkable to spend $100,000.
Yeah, easy.
Yes. And then, of course, the regulations and the system development charges, the SDCs, yes. In Salem, they're reasonably high, but not out of whack with some of the other communities we see. How is it in Dallas?
That was something that Dallas was on the very, very low end of things, and it was actually hurting the development of. So as you know, those system development charges can only go for new things when it's for new construction. Well, with ours being so low, they couldn't afford to actually get those roads and streets put in with all the plumbing and mm-hmm. and whatnot. So they just upgraded that and allowed for those to increase. We're still on the low end of it. So Dallas is still very, very marketable in terms of the buildership of it. And we bought a home from one of the local builders, and you know, it's kind of a starter home, but we love it. It's a great area. We're on the eastern end of town, and so we've got easier access to bringing our oldest over for her dance class over here in Salem. So, you know, it's a great little area, and pricing is still on the low end from what it is over here in Salem and other areas.
Can I buy a three bedroom, two bath for $250,000? Or no?
Where are you going to find that, Brent?
Yeah. I was wondering.
No.
300?
Yeah, you're pushing up 300. Maybe a little bit less than 300, okay. Depending on where
you are. As far as newer houses.
Newer houses, yeah. Okay. Newer houses are going to be up at that roughly that 300 mark. But I've seen some sell in our neighborhood for about 289.
And if you haven't done the tour of homes from the Home Builder Association, Marion Polk County, this year, actually, there were a lot of homes that were in Polk County and in Dallas.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's Salem-centric, and there's some great – we did it. We went through most of, I think, every home in Salem. Didn't make it out to Dallas, JD. Sorry to offend you. but we were seeing, you know, $600,000-$800,000 houses.
Yeah, who could afford that?
Which, if you're in a time capsule from 10 years ago, you know, that would be really, really striking compared to where we were at the collapse. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. All right, so a lot of homes are going up, relatively affordable, mm-hmm. Multifamily going up. Mm-hmm. Are there rents? And that's the other big quality of life issue in many areas in Oregon.
Yeah, rents are up, and there are some plans. I know of some plans to put in some more multifamily. In fact, in our subdivision, there's some plans for some multifamily going in. They're just not in yet. You know, they don't have the volume of employees to be able to make that happen.
Okay. Well, housing is a cornerstone of an economy because they put a lot of people to work. You know, you're going to start with somebody who's an engineer or an architect, and it goes all the way to the realtor. And everywhere in between, it touches so many skills and so many professions that it does put a lot of people to work and churns an economy. Mm-hmm. So that dollar really makes the whole town.
Hence the price of 300 plus thousand.
Yeah.
Our tax base is pretty low too in terms of the real estate tax. We're still on the lower end of that. I've heard our mayor talk about that as a talking point for driving people to move in. Is that your property taxes are significantly lower in Dallas than they are pretty much anywhere else?
So JD Shin, do you have any statistics or ideas about how many people are moving to Dallas that are still working in Salem and making the commute over our woefully inadequate bridge infrastructure?
And is that bridge affecting them? So
it is affecting them. I don't have statistics on me. You didn't warn me on that question. I'm offended again. No, we just talked about that actually in our Economic Development Council meeting where we were discussing in order to draw industry, we need to be able to supply them with a workforce. We have it. A lot of it's not just coming over here to Salem, but it's going up to Portland. And so some folks are taking, you know, Highway 99 to avoid that bridge.
Wow.
And so they're going 99W, and then they, you know, cross through McMinnville and Newburgh just to get up to Portland.
All right, before we take our last break, does you have a Community Awards event coming up in Dallas?
We do, yeah. It's our annual event. It's one of those livability things where we just celebrate Dallas and some of the great people that are there. We have six awards that we do. I want to talk about one in particular that I couldn't be more excited about. The person.
Well, if we're going to do all six, let's hold it for after the break.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do that.
We're going to break real quick. We'll come back. We're talking to J.D. Shin of the Dallas Chamber. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. Salem is listening, and today we're talking about Dallas in the West Valley with J.D. Shin, the Chamber CEO out there in Dallas. And we're talking about your event. You're going to have community awards, celebrate some people, six things.
Yeah.
Six awards you're going to give out. Some good things that happen.
Yeah. I usually shed about 3 or 7 tears at this event. Just really heartwarming.
You actually count them?
they're actually kept in a bottle.
Oh, so, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So what kind of awards are you giving out?
Well, we do one of the top one, I guess you might say, is the Lifetime Achievement Award. And that this year is being given to a person who was a teacher for years and years. He was on city council. He served as mayor. He volunteers all over the place. Jim Fairchild. He's just a great guy. I remember I was in 8th grade at Lockreel Junior High School before it was middle school. and this guy shows up to practice and just starts telling people what to do. And the crazy thing was nobody knew who he was, but we started obeying everything that he told us to do. So Coach Fairchild was the guy there, and so he's getting that lifetime achievement. I couldn't be more excited to be able to be a part of giving that one out. Grandma's Attic is a business in town that draws people in from all over the state and even outside of the state, and they're a quilting shop. And
Grandma's so Attic.
Grandma's Attic Business of the Year. So we're pretty excited about that one. First Citizen is a guy that is a serial volunteer, not just in Dallas, but he goes all over the country volunteering his time and his expertise. So he's First Citizen. You just, are you getting the warm fuzzies?
Mm-hmm. That I am. Getting?
Junior First Citizen. This is an award that we give to somebody under the age of 18 that contributes to the community. So Aubrey Miller, a junior at the high school, at Dallas High School, is winning that. Young Professional. So that's somebody over the age of 18, is Brittany Hamill, who's actually she's the police department liaison, and she's out there communicating with the community about what the police department is doing. But she's also a volunteer. She helps out coaching girls basketball, so really involved in the community. And then the Kindness Club of Dallas, they're just all about making sure people smile more.
Well, a nation could use a bit of that. It seems like you turn on the news or read the paper, there's always somebody just pointing a finger and about how much they hate that person and why we should hate somebody.
Well, they should talk to Kindness. Debbie McCleary.
Okay, yeah. McCleary. All right. So we were talking during the break a little bit. So one thing I want to hit before we run out of time is we were talking about the housing, and yesterday we had the mayor of Salem on, and we were talking about the homeless. Has that impacted Dallas to any great degree, the homeless situation?
We're starting to see homelessness visible now, where a lot of folks tend to find a way to hide themselves and so forth and participate in life. But we're starting to see more folks in Dallas that not a whole lot, but we see some people in the Walmart parking lot asking for change and that sort of thing. So,
well, tell us a little bit about the veterans housing, new initiative.
Yeah, really cool new thing. I think it's open. I just got to tour it about 2 weeks ago, and it is a home that is for veterans who've been struggling with homelessness. And so it's going to house six different veterans that will have access to all the resources that they can use. They'll each have their own room. It's got a library in it, some, you know, a place for them to communally eat if they want, and just get those wraparound services that they need so that they can get back on their feet and move on with their lives. They've served the country. They've done such a great thing. So Polk Community Development Corporation and Polk County Family Services, Brent DeMoe and the gang, have put this thing together, and it's just a fantastic house. It's beautiful. I wish I could have bought that house.
And how do they get they'll go out and search homeless and look for or people who are already seeking veteran services and ask them what's your condition?
Yeah.
And they get referrals to this?
Yep. They're referred to it. They have to be vetted because they can only take certain conditions and so forth because of the wraparound services that they're limited to. So they do get vetted and they have to kind of apply for that, but
that's a neat initiative. All right. Yeah. So I want to know more about Dallas. I want to be in the know of all these fests that you have. Do I sign up to get a newsletter at your website, or what do I do?
Yeah, you can go to one of two places, at least for us. You can go to dallasoregon.org. That's the chamber's website. So it's really complicated.
Not dallastexas.org.
No, dallasoregon.org. Yeah, if you're in Dallas, Texas, and you want to join our chamber, that's fine. I don't mind. But as of January 1, 2019, we'll not be given refunds for mistaken identity joining
good
of the
policy.
Chamber.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's actually not true. And then if you want to kind of explore those assets and those visitor traits that we have, we're constantly looking for ways that we can add to exploredallasoregon.org, our visitor center website.
That's great. I know that all the way around here, especially if you pay attention, there are fests and
Staten has parties. A summer fest, and so does Dallas.
And there's there's corn and there's Davenport Days and there's everything all over. And I've been very impressed in terms of what Independence does and they seem to have music every Friday night and movies every Thursday night, and they also taking advantage of their river city status like Salem does. And in Salem, we were just talking about that in terms of how many festivals they have all summer long and this and that. But nobody should be without a thing to do.
Right.
In that's this area.
Sure. Idle hands.
In the winter.
Not good.
I mean, they're so we want to stay informed. And I want to know what's going on in Dallas, an opportunity to go enjoy whatever it is they're having with their celebrations and their culture and their history and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I can go to Dallas, Oregon.
Dallas, Oregon. All spelled out.
Will I get a newsletter? An e-mail newsletter?
You can sign up for the Twitter.
Hey, don't miss out
Twitter,
on
Twitter.
What about the community
Facebook,
awards?
Facebook.
Tickets available.
Tickets available on the website. You go on there and there's right at the top of it says community awards. You can't miss it.
And what, when is it?
It's February 22nd, Friday night.
Right. Usually it's not an issue getting people to email you. You know, you can just like do anything.
I don't get any emails.
Express interest in anything. You might have one question about and you're on an email list forever.
Right. Unsubscribe. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a problem. It's like, oh, wow.
We're talking to J.D. Shin, CEO of the Dallas Chamber. And I just want to say, J.D., that I appreciate what you do. Actually, and the chamber, and I wholeheartedly believe that we need advocates. You know, if you're listening, you're probably working today. A lot of people working or not working, but we all need advocates because we can't do it on our own. We may not know the mayor personally. We may not know how to navigate the public works department. We may not know how to navigate economic development or even where to share a good idea or a complaint. And so to have a chamber of commerce you can go to where a small business has a voice and has somebody looking after them, that's really great. And I hope it brings you some personal satisfaction in terms of the mission you're doing. Because a lot of times we go to work and we do our job.
Right.
And we forget that we're part of a great mission of our organization and that we're doing good work.
If somebody's not a member, though, and they had a problem, would they still be able to come to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And if I was looking for like an acre of land to move my house to, where would you suggest?
I have several suggestions.
Okay. Yeah. So, we'll talk later then.
Yeah. If you called the Dallas, I mean, you would refer us to a business, a realtor, any of those things. It's a great place to go when you go to a new community.
Yeah.
I'll tell another ancient story here, Dave. He loves it when I do this. But I was in grade school, and I had to do a report on a town in California, and I wrote to the Chamber of Commerce of Placerville, California. I could not believe what I got back.
Yep.
It was full of information, just full of flyers, and I'm this grade school guy, and it was they had a history that we were called Hangtown. California, Placerville. Any rate, but that you serve the dual role of visitors, right, and advocacy and awareness and connecting local businesses together in Dallas, that is awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to spend more time out there. I mean, you brought up awareness for me today.
Summertime. Yes. I'm stopping by.
First if beer's you on you.
I'm going to. There we go.
Thank you, J.D. Shin. We appreciate you being with us on Newsmakers, and we'll see you again. You've been listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening. Dave's waving at me. Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.